the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And each week, we rotate through different growth strategies for mid-sized companies. It's a peer-to-peer program. Most of our guests are presidents and CEOs of companies between 20 and 200 million, and most of our listeners are as well. So we're always looking for questions and topics that you want to be talking about and you want to have some questions on. So I can be reached at www.thegrowthstrategist.com or toll-free in the United States at 1-888-ALDONA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. Now, what I've noticed in your requests and your emails and your calls recently is that you're looking at, instead of just one growth strategy at a time, you're recognizing that you have to juggle three, four of these things, and they're interactive. And that one of the things that's difficult about driving a rapidly growing company is the balance. You know, you may have one strategy, like you're trying to focus your product, you're trying to modify your product, adjust it to a different marketplace, and that takes a lot of time, especially if it's some complicated, say, software, or if it's got some intellectual property involved, you've got some legalities that you're trying to juggle. That can take, in some cases, depending on how complicated the product is, just the adjustment, the adaptation for a product, for a marketplace that you're going after, that can take 18 months, realistically. And one of your second strategies might be you're looking at it and you're saying, all right, well, you know, we're really going to have to accept the globalization here. I mean, this is ridiculous. We've been focused too regionally. We've been focused too domestically, or whatever your situation is. It's time for us to make sure that we have affordable staff, that we can take care of our global client base. The Internet is just flattening the world. We better do globalization. Well, easier said than done. Think about what that takes. If you're going to be going global, what if you haven't before? So now you've got trips involved. Now you've got to learn different cultures. Now you've got to learn about letters of credit. You have to learn about the different approaches companies and countries have to business. Now you've got another thing that might take you. Literally, I've seen some people, when they're really doing a globalization effort, it can take as many as 2 years. You'd like it not to. You'd like to say to yourself, we're going to go global in the next 6 months. Okay, yeah, all right. You can do some of it. But to really, truly become a global company, you know, get real, you've got a concentrated, it's going to feel like a master's degree program in changing the focus of your business. So let's say if your third strategy that you've decided to do is, you know what, you've been in business for a while, and you've got lots of different kinds of customers and lots of different kinds of products, and you're going, gosh, you know, we're having a hard time managing this. We're going to have to, let's look at this. Let's look at what the sweet spot is. Where do we really make some profit? Where do we stand? Where, how do we refocus? All right, that takes looking at your software and looking at your business performance management. You know, that you're going to have to think about what's the data tell you. Now, you might not like some of what your data tells you, and you might have some favorite accounts, or you might have some favorite products, and now you got to deal with the emotionality of letting go. And you've got to change some of your staff, because if the sweet spot where you really can make money isn't the kind of thing that some of your core people are able to do, now you've got to upgrade some of your employees, downgrade some of your employees, let go, you know, move on. All right, can you hear this? When you do that type of a regroup and a refocus and a clarification of what's the sweet spot of your company, talk to me, people. Think about this. That's not, somebody would get all excited and say, we're going to focus, and it's going to take us a couple of months to do this. Yeah, right. I mean, if you're a little tiny business and there's one person sitting at a desk and you're a solopreneur, maybe. But when you've got a moving target and lots of ongoing contracts and a dynamic of what the management team is and et cetera, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, that does not take a few minutes to do. So now you've got another thing that, if you're not careful, is a one-year, two-year transformation. All right, then you've decided that you're not going to be growing your business on your own, that for you really to have strength, you're going to have to upgrade the strategic alliances that you have. Maybe your product is affiliated with financial interests, or it's something that's important to the legal side of the business, and you don't even know the law firms. You don't even know some of the Wall Street companies. You don't know the financial experts that are out there, and you want to know what a J.P. Morgan talks like, and you want to know what the Bank of New York is thinking, and you want them to know who you are, so that when you need them to complement your business, you can open the door, you can make a call, and somebody actually responds. All right, how long does that take? You're busy running your business. You have ongoing contracts. You have some decisions that you're making. Remember, you're doing these two or three other things. You're busy going global. You're changing your product. You're refocusing to your sweet spot. Now you got to go off and you got to create strategic alliances. When? So think about it. Even if you're really motivated, if it was the one strategy that you were doing, maybe, okay, you've got, let's start developing the one at Bear Stearns. Let's start developing the one at the Bank of New York. Let's look at what's going on at HSBC. Let's figure out how to make that happen. Okay, which one of us is going to do it? What happens when the meeting gets canceled? How do we get it back? How do you maintain the momentum of that? And then, oh, by the way, let's think about this. You know, with the kinds of strategies that we're talking about, gosh, this is real expensive. This is going to take a lot of focus. Maybe we don't have quite enough skill. There might be somebody that's in a complementary business. We've been talking to them for a while. We like working with them, but it's kind of like their competitor. But, you know, I've heard of this strategy of co-opetition. Well, you know, we've talked about working together. How about if we combined our firms? Maybe, you know, each of us, we've been talking on the side. We're both doing, you know, reasonable profitability, reasonable growth. But, gosh, you know, it's not stellar. It's not exponential. And so, all right, now how long does that take? How long does just the exploration of a couple of guys who have decent businesses in a similar industry talking about maybe we should combine our firms, how long does that take? Now, if what I'm saying sounds nuts, this is what life is really like in the fast lane. And I haven't even mentioned everything that somebody would be doing. In fact, the example I just gave is what my guests are going to be talking about a quarter after the hour. I actually have a couple of guys that have been living this journey, and I'm not even talking about all that they've done. This is what it's actually like to say, we're going to ramp up these companies. We're going to ramp up. We're going to be on the Inc. 500. It means embracing four, five complementary strategic directions, any one of which would make your head spin, any one of which would make you wonder if you're coming or going, any one of which would make, you know, figuring out who you're going to hire and where your money goes and how fast do you do each thing complicated. Put them all together, and now you got what it's like to really live in the fast lane. And I think the people listening to this, for the most part, you know what I'm talking about. And it's exactly why most people don't choose to do it. I don't think that the companies, you know, it's only like 1% that ever do this kind of, you know, exponential growth. It's not because the marketplace isn't out there, and it's not because the money's not out there. And it's actually not because the people aren't out there. It's because at the top, embracing that type of insanity, embracing that much change and living that ride and following through. That's the bottom line of what I want to say in this opening remark. Following through is not in the constitution, the personality of most people. Sounds nice to say, oh, we're going to do this cool stuff. We're going to merge. Oh, we're going to go global. We're going to reframe the product so that it, you know, another marketplace could afford the product that, you know, used to cost $1 million for people to buy this, and we're going to make it affordable. We're going to drop the price point to $100,000. Yeah, right. It's doable, but why would you do that? Okay, so we've already concluded that our guests are crazy. That's what it takes. It takes extreme brightness, and it takes you being a little crazy to want to drive a rapidly growing company. So I just want people who are listening to this, think about it. When you embrace the idea of growth, think about what you're doing. To just start six or seven changes and put them in motion and then not be willing to follow through if you don't have the stamina, if you don't have the nerve, if you don't have the health, if you don't have the interest, if you don't have the focus. I mean, it sounds funny to say focus when I'm saying that you're doing six things at once. But it's an interactive, you know, complementary kind of set of strategies. If you wouldn't follow through, it actually does damage to your company to set it in motion. So I'm asking people who are listening to this today, sometimes there are changes in the marketplace that force you to revisit what your company's about. It could be the economy shifts. It could be that, you know, your performance starts to go down. You know, you're losing key people, you lost a key account, something's eroding your profitability, you're facing big competition. You could be acquired by a great big, you know, company that changes the rules about what's going on with you. Sometimes you're forced to revisit the combinations of strategy. I want you when that happens. You know, sometimes it's just because you scheduled it. You know, you were due for a strategic plan. You know, you're not going to do that every day. But if it's time, you know, you've ridden a wave for a while and it's time for you to look at it again, the market shifts. I want you to add the consideration of, are you crazy enough? Will you follow through? Do you have the stamina? Do you have the nerve? Because at the top, you set the tone about whether or not it's for real. And if it's just energy, if it's just ego, if it is, if this sounds fun, let's try it. You really mess up lives, you really mess up money, you really waste a lot of time. And it's hard to retain employees, it's hard to attract them. But boy, if you do have that almost mania, if you have that insatiable need to do it right, to do it well, to do more, to make it better, it's like a magnet. It attracts not only customers, but employees. If you clearly are the ones that want it. Employees are looking for that. They're looking for, are you the real deal? They're looking for somebody that is going to give them an assignment and appreciate that they did it because they were truly needed and some other cool, exciting thing is going to happen because they're on the move. And I don't think a lot of strategic planning sessions have enough realistic, honest, reflective analysis of the top. Do we want it and why? And it can't just be for ego reasons. And one of the places this is the toughest is if you hit around that $10 million mark, I've noticed that an awful lot of companies, the presidents, the owners, et cetera, get complacent, they get cocky, and they start talking about the past too much. They start talking about, hey, you know, how wonderful they are, and they act like, you know, they've never made a mistake. Then their focus is much more on their ego and on their money, and on figuring out a way to spend all their accomplishments. Instead of revisiting, are you still in it for the game? Do you still want to balance these 5-6 crazy things? Do you have the stamina? Do you have the energy? Are you willing to follow through? That kind of honest analysis is truly needed. Now we're going to spend the next several minutes talking to two guys who are mania. They have the mania. They have the energy. They have the brightness. They're living the journey. See if you sound like them. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Andrew Jorgensen and Michael Fiore of Pinnacle Group Worldwide.
We talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is Aldana Ambler, The Growth Strategist, and today we're talking about integrating 4 to 5 multiple strategies all at the same time. How do you get them to work? How do you get them to come together? And one of the things I didn't get to in the opening segment is I want you to think about when you have multiple changes that you're dealing with, one of the key things is the interaction between how you're managing your sales. Can you get that horse race between your sales and your execution and your cash, your money? Can you get that balance of those three things to come together in the same kind of time? That's really the skill that you want when you want to put complicated strategies together. Okay, that means that you have to have people that can sit down and compare. All right, where are we on our globalization? What's our time frame? When do we need what done? Where are we on the product adjustment, and how much is it going to cost, and wait a minute, we're falling behind? And where are we on, you know, pulling together the large accounts and getting rid of some of the ones that are high maintenance? And really monitor this thing. You can't just say, let's just throw it up against the wall and see what sticks. This takes some real project management and discipline. So I'm delighted that we have two guests with us today from a company that's living this journey. I'm going to start with Andrew Jorgensen. Hi, Andrew. Are you there?
Hi. How are you today, Elton?
I'm doing fine. You got real quiet when I introduced you in that opening segment. Is it embarrassing hearing the life that you're living?
It's certainly interesting to hear it recounted from the outside point of view.
You got to go get some therapy?
Perhaps.
Well, it must be, you know, living that journey, you must be 1 minute it's fun, and the next minute it's like, what the heck am I doing, right?
There's the emotional roller coaster that every sort of change in the business brings to you. So you're experiencing lots of very high highs and very low lows, often in compressed time frames.
Well, I want to know a little bit about your background. That's why I'm doing you one at a time here. You've had over 20 years of experience in the industry. Now tell me what that means. What have you been doing? Give me a thumbnail sketch of the 20 years.
It's actually interesting because Mike and I have kind of flipped careers, where my background is actually in accounting and finance, and
cool.
As my career evolved, I've become more interested or more of an expert in the technology, mm-hmm. In the sort of the computer operated side of using accounting and finance.
And you've been affiliated with Hyperion for like 12 years, right?
Since 1987, so I'm going on 20.
I'm 20 just with Hyperion. Okay, well, I must be misreading something. All right.
I'm the 12 years.
Okay, so you built your business, Mike. You know, Andrew, you built your business. What was the name of it?
Originally, we were Pinnacle Technology Partners, and we were founded in 1995.
And how big did the company get before you and Michael merged?
We were only at about $1 million in revenues.
Okay. So anything else you want to tell me about your background? Because the audience needs to know who each of you are.
My sort of evolution. I wasn't a Hyperion employee very early on, and when I left there in 95, that's when I started Pinnacle.
And so for the people who might be living under a rock, what's Hyperion?
Hyperion is really the leader in the business performance management space. What they do is make software that helps companies analyze their business and find the most profitable segments of their business or find the things that are dragging their business down.
Well,
and
I
then
like
help to
the companies that are at about $500 million when it gets too complicated and they just can't get enough information out of their P&L and some spreadsheets. They go on something like Hyperion and they can actually see where they're bleeding money and which accounts are making them profit, right?
Sure, that 80% of your profits come from 20% of your customers, a lot of entrepreneurs kind of know who those 20% are right off the top of their heads, but this helps them quantify and manage that much better.
It's a good product. I mean, you've got some competition from Cognos and Business Objects, but, you know, aren't you guys the Hyperion the leader?
Absolutely.
Don't you like that cue? Now, Michael, it's your turn, your history. You've been in the field 20-plus years as well. Same kind of history as what Andrew's done, or is it different?
Well, it's interesting. Like Andy had mentioned, we kind of have flip-flopped. My career started in the COBOL mainframe programming days.
Oh, my God.
So I came up through the ranks of working for Chase Manhattan Bank, Morgan Stanley, and had to program everything. And it was literally like you mentioned in the beginning, is that these initiatives take 18 months, 2 years, 5 years for these organizations, and then all of a sudden applications popped up out of nowhere, and I said, wow, if I don't have to program this stuff and I can just learn how to use it.
Isn't it amazing, the transformations that have happened in the technology sector?
So that's how, exactly, and that's how I found Hyperion and fell in love with that, hey, we don't have to program this. We can actually use a tool and just learn to get very proficient at it and deliver value.
Well, you'd be very selective because, you know, you would know better, so it had to be a really good product.
That's, I think, what has been an advantage to us is that we know the workings of the software, and we're like, this really brings things that I need to do or that I would struggle in Excel.
Yeah.
And to the one thing I would add is we're seeing not just $500 million companies. We're dealing with now 50, 100 million, $200 million companies that go through everything, if not more, because they have less people than the $500 million giant.
Well, the complexity's there.
Absolutely.
All right, so how big was your company and what was the name of your company?
I was Linden Consulting, and it was funny. It was just a small venture when I first did it, because you mentioned the complexities, and it was survival for me. So Linden was like, it was the name of my two kids, Lindsay and Austin, together, and we only grew to about $1 million, and we kind of stagnated since 1995, like Andy, and we stagnated at about $1 million, 5-6 people, just getting by.
Interesting. Okay, so you're getting by, you're making reasonable profit. Something changed in you guys that you said in 2003 that you were going to combine your efforts. What happened to? I just want the journey of how did you end up? Well, I want to make sure that the audience understands where you ended up. You're at about $15 million now, right?
Correct.
Well, so, I mean, what a journey between 2003 and now. If a couple of million-dollar companies combine, and it's only 4 years later, whoa.
Right. Well, the one thing, we have had a wild journey, and listening to your intro, I didn't know to laugh or cry to realize that really is Andy and myself and Pinnacle Group Worldwide. So, you know, again, we took on the worldwide side. But what we saw is even though we were only a $1 million company, we dealt with, our client list was all of the Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah, like you've had Verizon as a client for 7 years.
We've had Verizon, we've had ADP, we've had Pepsi,
GE. So you were playing in the big leagues, but you were still small companies.
Right, and that's when we saw that both of us were going to possibly be extinct if we didn't think about changing.
So who approached whom?
I think we were both drinking at a bar at the time because we've known each other for 15 years.
So Andy sits there and says, okay, I'm going extinct, are you? Should we get together? I mean, what? How did you do it?
I think it was an observation that the market was changing and that there was a more need for the type of software and service that we were offering.
Oh, there's incredible need.
And that we could sit together and kind of, you know, not really compete against each other, but co-opetition against each other and just kind of survive. Or we really kind of sketched out on a napkin, here's how one and one make three. And
now,
here's
a lot
how
of people
we can
who
thrive.
Merge their companies don't take off. How did you get together and say, you know, strategize that you were going to dramatically change the businesses? How long did it take you to actually do that?
You know what? That was fairly quickly because the big thing is the vision and the open, you mentioned ego. is the one thing I think that made a merger work is Andy and I had eliminated the ego in the equation. So we truly looked at what did Andy do well. Andy brought a huge amount of relationships compared to what my company had. But in my company, I had huge profit margins and depth inside of the client. So I was able to expand the business once in it.
But you chose to be co-CEOs. Now, from a distance, not knowing, guys, that doesn't sound like letting ego go.
Well, it's interesting because it's two perfect circles that just touch.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at what a CEO's job or a COO's job is it's a lot of things in that pie. And if you can divide that or multiply it by two, you have so much more throughput.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I have a feeling you guys are going to be revisiting that decision, you know, at about $20 million at least. And you're just from all the different companies that I've worked with, that it's really hard to stay co-CEOs at that kind of scale. So now you come together. What did you let go of? I mean, for you to combine the companies, did you, you know, and you were focusing. I mean, remember from the opening segment, these guys went through a merger. They've decided that they're going to adapt a product so they can go after a smaller market that couldn't afford the entry, the price point that of what Hyperion normally would have. They're globalizing. They're refocusing on their sweet spot. They're looking at strategic alliances and probably six other things I'm not saying. You're going through all that kind of stuff. What did you let go of? What did you stop doing?
I guess the best way to explain it is we were the kind of entrepreneurs that had many irons in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And by looking for opportunity everywhere, you know, when you're small, you kind of say, you know, at any port in a storm. In our case, we kind of retrenched and said, what do we do really, really well? Let's forget about everything else that is sort of a side thing and just focus on the one thing. And let's be the best at that one thing.
That, you know, and some people say that, and they don't. I'm going to go to a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about how did you choose the six strategies you chose. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money, call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Does your business have what it needs to compete in today's marketplace? Does your company's image set you apart from your competitors? Whether you are looking for a new brand identity or product strategy, host Robert Hale will help you create new market strategies that will grow revenues and profits. Whether your company has $1 million or $100 million in sales, Building Successful Marketing Strategies airs live on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 Eastern. To be successful in today's competitive market, a commanding strategy that positions your company for growth will be your strongest possible strategic advantage in any business. Building Successful Marketing Strategies will explore innovative ideas and practices that use the latest theories and practice. Join host Robert Hale every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 Eastern, for Building Successful Marketing Strategies and begin building brand and market share.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And today we're talking with Andrew Jorgensen and Michael Fiore of Pinnacle Group Worldwide. As my example of guys that are on the Inc. 500, you know, rapidly growing company, they went from a couple $1 million when they merged their business 4 years ago, and they're now at the $15 million mark. This is a pretty fast run for a professional service firm. They are in the business performance management software business, and they're attached to the Hyperion product, which is an excellent product. I think if I read it right, Oracle just bought Hyperion in April. So it's going to be interesting to see where these guys head, you know, with the Oracle marketing engine behind it. So it could even be more lift than they're ready for. But what we're talking about is these guys, in combining their companies, have embraced about 5 or 6 strategies, not just the merger of the two companies, because it was kind of transforming both when they combined, but to adapt the product so that it could be something comfortable and accessible to companies that had not been able to afford it otherwise, to globalize the business, to focus their in a sweet spot and do what they do well, and really strengthen strategic alliances, particularly within the financial services companies. You know, like they really are connected with the J.P. Morgans and the Bear Stearns and the Bank of New York and HSBC. You know, they've done 5 or 6 things. So now what we're talking about is how. So I think I'm going to try, you know, Michael, I guess who to ask wrong, tell me. Michael, tell me a little bit about the Hyperion decision. Wasn't that one of your biggest decisions, is to say, let's really focus on them?
Absolutely. When we Andy and I got together and we had that cocktail napkin out and we're trying to figure out, again, what do you do well, what do I do well? Andy said, well, what about all these relationships I have? I mean, you've been focused purely on Hyperion, but I've got some great relationships with all these other vendors and these partners.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know what, Andy? If we want to first grow a business, you need to still be profitable. I think the dot-com age proved money, just throwing money at an idea, generates busy work.
That's exactly right.
It doesn't generate sustainability. And I think that that's one thing, is you mentioned follow-through. For me, it's survival, and that drives me.
So you want longevity, you know. So you said that we want a decision that's going to carry us for a while.
Well, exactly. And I said, what will make our business survive and then prosper, profitability, you know, then expansion?
And I totally agree with you. Some of the smaller companies, they describe it as opportunity-driven, and they get all excited. You know, some market trend thing happens, like Sarbanes-Oxley. They go nuts, and they try to create a whole new product around it. And then they realize that wave is only going to last a couple of years, that people would, you know, really focus on just it. And you guys had a product related to that, but you haven't become, you know, the Sarbanes-Oxley software company.
Right. So it was very tough to throw those relationships away and say, we're going to be 100% focused. Because as Andy mentioned, if we're going to do this right, we need to have a differentiator in our business. And our business would be, okay, Pinnacle would be the go-to player, and then you fill it in. So
So Andrew, what happens next? Okay, so you guys sat there and said, we're going to attach ourselves to the Hyperion, you know, horse here. So what? What did that mean to you?
Well, from our perspective, we really took a look at the market space. From our perspective, we were we decided to take on Hyperion as our the horse that we were going to ride. But then there became an issue of we have no name recognition. We're two very, very small companies based in New York, and we really don't have the national presence. We don't have any kind of real branding attached to us. So the next sort of engine in growth was to associate the Pinnacle name with being Hyperion experts and to get the word out. It's
well,
very
easy.
You
had to spend some money on marketing and branding?
Well, it wasn't just throwing money at it. It was a lot of very strategic decisions to go very high exposure for very low cost. People often describe it as guerrilla marketing.
Yes.
Finding ways to reach your targeted audience very inexpensively, very cheaply, and once you have them, stay in front of them and retain them.
Now, is that one of the things that drove the strategic alliances in the financial, you know, services company side of things?
In the beginning, those other alliances were more to broaden the footprint and again, get any port in a storm. This initiative to scale back was to more to let everybody know about that one thing that we had chosen, that we're, you know, the experts in this space.
Now, how did you, Michael, how did you afford to adapt the software so that there'd be an accessible kind of hosted version for middle-sized companies?
Well, what was interesting is that, again, we took our strengths. Is Andy and I have had 12 and 19-year, 20-year relationships with the vendor. So we were core experts in the Hyperion suite of products. So we have been through all the wars with size of companies from $30 million to $96 billion Verizon, and we saw the entire gamut of all their issues and problems, from infrastructure to resources to enthusiasm.
Did Hyperion help you fund it, or is this something that you...
No, and we're very proud. As one, again, one differentiator that we say is that we, and still to this date, are the largest partner of Hyperion that was non-funded.
Yeah.
Because at the time, again, you're busy doing your day-to-day job, and again, funding is, okay, well, we have internal funding through bank relationships, okay, but we did not go outside of the normal bank route. So we looked at, to leverage our expertise, we said there's a gap of the business. There's people that are not using the product, but because we focused early on our one true strength, that generated profitability, which then generated the funds so that now when we were ready to invest and see an opportunity, we could take advantage of that. We didn't
well, you
have...
can also go after the early adopters the way that you were going, you know, doing this. So who owns the IP? I mean, if you've done this and it's piggybacked off of Hyperion software, who owns this? You guys or Hyperion or Oracle?
As far as the hosting initiative, I mean, the client owns the software.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but the intellectual property of having developed it, I mean, this is unique in the marketplace. So how are you protecting your...
You know what? It's actually not as unique as I think you would think. It just hasn't been successful. So hence, there's been initiatives, like you mentioned. You start initiatives, and then you evaluate it, or it doesn't. You do not get the follow-through,
yeah,
and it falls apart.
So other people have tried this, you know, hosted version, lower entry point, and they bungled it?
With other software they have. They haven't done. We were the first ones to do it with Hyperion,
yeah,
because other companies, again, were just involved in just being a service organization, just being selling software. So we were the first ones to go to Hyperion.
Yeah.
When they admitted to us, they had tried it.
All right, so now your clients buy the software, right?
And they actually buy the software from Hyperion, correct.
Okay, so what kind of services are you guys providing to have a client like Verizon for 7 years? If they buy the software, aren't they done? Isn't it a kind of a transaction?
Well, I think when you're growing a business, it's for the life of when you're involved in that business, you have to treat software the same way. Is if it's not getting better, it's deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to continually improve it, either through internal resources, usage to more end users.
Yeah.
It has to continually improve, and hence our relationships with clients will heat up,
yeah,
will disappear, and then they'll heat up again.
Now, Andrew, you know, on the side of the project management piece of this, okay, now you've got these five or six major initiatives moving. You guys hadn't managed a $15 million business before, and you're on this four-year run to get there. Tell me about what mechanisms you're using to juggle all this. How do you do this?
Interestingly enough, we actually use the software that we sell.
Yay! I was hoping you'd say that.
it's
walk the talk, huh?
It's business performance management software, and if you're going to manage growth and you're going to manage any kind of initiative, you want to be able to track it and measure it and everything. No matter what you do, if you sketch out the most perfect plan, you're going to find that you have to make small adjustments along the way. And software is not the end-all be-all to every problem, but it does act as a productivity tool to help you identify where the problems are.
How did you have people who are in charge of each of these initiatives, or are the two of you driving all of them?
I think the initial idea is Andy and I do communicate a lot. We're never in the same room a lot, but we actually do communicate a lot. And it was interesting because during one of these, whiteboarding sessions, we realized, oh my God, we've taken on this initiative of global expansion. We need a consolidation system. And so what we've done is, we will launch the idea, the initiatives, and then we will get certain key people involved to say, okay, do you see where we're going with this? This is where we plan you to be. Are you up to taking on this initiative?
So who are some of the other key players? You knew I was going to ask you that because, at this point, it's got to be more than the two of you driving this.
Oh, absolutely. And one thing I think that one of the things that keep Andy and I up at night is I'm always looking at profitability and Andy's looking to take over the world and grow the company as fast as we can. And I said, you know what, Andy? $5 million to $10 million to $15 million isn't bad.
Yeah.
And his reply is, but 10 to 20 to 30 is better.
Well, that may be why this is working, is there's a complementary nature to your partnership.
Right, and so one of the battles was, well, when do we bring on a head of sales, a director of sales?
And in fact, what did you decide?
I wanted to bring on one or two salespeople, and Andy kind of agreed. And it was a person inside of the vendor, Hyperion, said, look, if you guys want to be serious, you have to bring on a director. You have to bring on someone that's going, and then you have to bring on three salespeople.
Good for them for pointing it out to you.
Well, they benefit by us selling more of their product.
I know, but still, somebody that had a vested interest in you succeeding.
It took a hammer to the head though for us to give in, because we're a small company and we're like, well, we can't handle five new headcount. And
some of it is an eye-opening experience to say, what are you trying to create? What size company are you trying to create, and what does it need? So you knew how to run like a $5 million business, but what is it going to take for you to be a 50? Now, at the break, I want to go back to these guys, and I want to find out how big are they intending to get this thing. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Join Ava Lake every Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for an exquisite look into the art world and the stories that define the art and the artists. Each week, Ava will host a variety of guests, from the critics, curators, gallerists, to the players and artists who make it happen. That's the art world with Ava Lake, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. right here on the Voice America Women's Channel.
The Communication Catalyst with Tammy Quinn is a provocative radio talk show for business owners and corporate executives who are impacting their bottom line by improving their organization's social structure. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for The Communication Catalyst, building better business behaviors.
More and more business people recognize the importance of spirituality in their work. How do busy professionals discover what rings true for them? Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salad explores what it means to be spiritually fulfilled in business and how to integrate spiritual direction into a career. Expert guests, authors, and inspiring speakers join Karen every week to discuss such issues as honesty, compassion, generosity, ethics, and integrity in the workplace. Take a positive step forward to greater life balance. Tune into Embracing the journey with Karen Humphreys Salad, broadcasting every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, the bottom line in business talk.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today I'm interviewing Andrew Jorgensen and Michael Fiore of Pinnacle Group Worldwide, and they're kind of like the poster children for deciding that you're going to ramp up your business. They took their businesses together. They combined them in 2003. They were only at a couple of million apiece, and they've driven it fast to 15 million now, and I'm curious about where they're headed. And what they've been doing is they did a combination of merging their companies, adapting the product that they were working with so that it could go after smaller companies to expand their reach, did globalization. They refocused on a sweet spot so that they could really have recurring revenue, and they worked on strategic alliances. And as a that was a number of their strategies. They had a handful of them, and they've been living this juggling for the last 4 years. So what I'm asking is, all right, Andrew, try this. What do you think makes this work for you guys? If you were to think about other companies that are listening, other presidents that are listening, what are some of the secrets to doing this that you guys have learned?
The real secret is that sort of balance that Mike and I each bring to the table. Whereas I'm looking to propel growth and Mike is looking to manage and stay profitable. Obviously, too much growth too fast can be as poisonous to a company as no growth and stagnation. So by achieving that sort of balance, those two different viewpoints, we're able to maintain the quality of service that we provide while still growing and reaching out.
So you're a complementary part set of partners.
Absolutely. Different mindsets, but with a common goal.
Yeah, and I've seen some people that are focused on profit, and they don't realize that growth is the way they're going to get it. So you have to kind of walk through, or let's look at the percentages and see, you know, how we're going to net more. You know, is scale going to bring it?
Well, you also have to balance the follow-through. I think that was a great word that you used. Because, you know, Andy and I and everyone else out there gets hundreds of emails. And just because you answer 100 emails got you nothing, quite often gets you nothing done for the day.
Amen. I've seen some people lose so much time talking to each other, emails back and forth within a company instead of doing it, you know, talking about what they're not doing on email instead of living it.
I think that's one thing also, that how are we living it is that came through to the vendor because they had commented to us, you know, we continually do business with you because you just don't talk about ideas that you're thinking about investigating.
Yeah, you're actually living it.
You follow through.
So talk to me about recruitment, because one of the things that stops a company from doing what you guys are living is they can't find the right people at the right time, get them up to train, you know, trained well enough, or can't retain them because it's a very competitive market. Who's over recruitment in your company? Who should I be asking about this?
Well, we definitely don't have enough time to talk about our troubles recruiting, because you're absolutely
right. It would be a whole
other
show, wouldn't it?
That is holding us back.
It has to be.
You know, we've gotten a bunch of initiatives that you talked about, the globalization, and you're right. We painfully went through a two-year process of understanding the culture. Well, now it's all clicking. So what's now holding you back?
Well, now you're
resources.
Yeah, you're at 15 million. Do you have who are the key people? I heard a sales director. Anybody else?
We have regional consulting directors in our business because, again, we're a service organization, and we brought in some heavy hitters because in starting a new initiative, we said our reputation is X, and now we're implementing into a culture that already knows us to say, well, we're also experts at this.
Yeah.
So we had to bring in the outside heavy hitters to give us credibility. So our knock operations.
When I was growing the strategic planning firm, we got to 123 full-time consultants in six offices around the world. And that branch manager or regional manager was so key in the recruitment and training. Are you doing that model, or is somebody else leading on recruitment?
No, we do that because I think that the advantage that that model has is they know their people.
Yeah.
But it's also very difficult. We live in an age of the technology, and Andy can tell you that the struggles that he's had in trying to search different alternatives to get resources.
It's so competitive, and you know, for a couple of bucks or a different kind of project, somebody walks to somebody else. I mean, it's just fragile.
Yeah, the one piece of advice that I would give anyone who's facing that sort of decision point on who to hire is don't be afraid to hire the best.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think that it's going to be a little bit more money, if you hire the best people, they will transfer your organization. They will help propel you.
Well,
they
it's might, whether or not you're serious.
Well,
you guys decided that you were seriously going to grow and be one of the top nine. You know, you're in that one out of nine. What did you call it? Select preferred status with Hyperion. I mean, you made a conscious choice that you were going to be leaders. That takes, you know, following through in so many ways, including hiring bright people.
Well, and Andy's point is the vendor and your marketplace knows your company's image.
Yeah.
And when they hear that you've hired, they take you to a new level.
So give me an example of something you tried that didn't work. Give me a mistake or a problem. I mean, it hasn't been all rosy.
Should we say marketing, Andy?
Okay. You know, everybody's got strengths. Everybody's got weaknesses. Was there an area where you look at it and you go, gosh, I wish we knew more?
At that point, I think we need to tie it back to how it pertains to the current Oracle acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the Hyperion pond, if you will, one of the top 10 vendors in a pool of 600.
Yeah, you're a big fish in a smaller pond.
Well, almost overnight, as in July 1st, we are one of 19,000 Oracle partners.
Wow.
And now we are a very small fish in a very big pond, and if it comes to seeing change coming down the road, coming up with a plan on how to adapt to that change, and in our
case, you guys are having to sit down and regroup right now, aren't you?
Yeah, and in this case, the way we market to customers has to change dramatically.
And some of it be driven by Oracle, and some of it you have to drive yourself anyway.
Absolutely, but it's much easier to rise above the chatter of 600 than it is to rise above the chatter of 19,000.
Well, at least you're smart enough to go on international radio. I mean, come on. Now, I want to make sure that people hear your contact information because I got a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure people can reach you. Where would they, Michael? Where would they reach Pinnacle Group worldwide?
Andy, I guess if they want to go to me, if they have any questions for myself, I am M F as in Frank U O R I at pgww.com. But we also have a general info at pgww.com.
Okay. And is there a telephone number, a main telephone number for them to call?
It's 800-403-0795.
And I invite people to contact these guys because it's the journey of growing a rapidly growing business, and it's also the type of product that they have that I chose them because they're also a resource for the people who are listening to this. You know, it's a $20 to $200 million market that we're focused on in this program, and your business, you know, performance management, your software, your systems, for you to really juggle the changes that you're talking about. Where are you with cash? Where are you with the sales? Where are you with execution? Where are you with your people? Really juggling that on a day-to-day basis is not easy, and the software helps. I can be reached at 1-888-ALDONA, and the growth, www.thegrowthstrategist.com. Summary for today, you really got to regroup. Sometimes Oracle buys out your company, and you got to regroup even when you're on a roll. It could be good news. It could be bad news. They're not alone. Watch for the triggers for when you sit down and include the consideration. Do you have the stamina? Do you have the will to follow through? My wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, signing out. Thank you, guys.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business, Voice America Business. Is your business